How many of you have ever, looked in your closet or you're up in the attic looking for something and thought to yourself, boy, I have way too much stuff? You don't have to raise your hands, that's okay. One of my favorite preachers, George Carlin, you may know him better as a comedian, but I think he was a preacher, even he wouldn't have admitted that. One of his famous routines was about stuff. He would say, you know, that's the meaning of life, getting stuff. He'd say, that's why we have houses. We have houses because we need some place to put our stuff. You know, if you didn't have all that stuff, we'd just be walking around. So a house is really just stuff with a cover on it. And then when you leave your house, what do? You lock it so that no one can come in and take your stuff while you're out getting more stuff. And why do we build new houses? Because we've run out of space in the old one for our stuff. That's a pretty good summary of the parable that Jesus tells. And I suspect because it hits very close to home, this is probably very few people's favorite parable of Jesus. He says there was a man, a rich man, who had an incredible harvest one year. And he had all this stuff. And he said, what am I going to do? Well, I will tear down my old barns and I will build big new ones to store all my stuff. And that night, God comes to him and says, you fool, tonight your life is being taken. And now what's going to happen to all that stuff? This is a parable about greed. I mean, that's how Jesus introduces it. And I hope you also notice greed is mentioned by Paul in this passage from Colossians as well, as one of the things we should avoid as people putting on the new self with God. Avoid greed, which Paul says is idolatry. One of the problems with all this stuff is the stuff can become idols. We can begin to focus our energy and our attention and our time on stuff. We can begin even to worship stuff instead of worshiping God. This stuff can pull us away from the things of God. As Paul said, put your mind, seek the things that are above, not the earthly things. And yet we can get so wrapped up in our stuff that it almost begins to consume us instead of us consuming it. And as George Carlin alludes to in his routine, that he does much better than I did, by the way, we begin then to worry about our stuff, you know? We don't just lock our houses, we buy security systems for our houses. Why? To protect our stuff. And we buy insurance to protect our stuff. And what is it that keeps us up at night sometimes and we worry about? Often it's our stuff. And our stuff almost becomes our God. But there's another aspect to stuff that I think is part of this parable as well, and that is, it's not just the greed element of it, it's the distraction of it. Again, we devote all this time and energy and thinking about stuff. Do you remember two Sundays ago we read and I was preaching about the story of Mary and Martha? You know, Jesus comes to their house and Martha is doing all this work and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, and then Martha complains because she's doing all the work, and Jesus says, Martha, you are worried and distracted by so many things? Well, our stuff can make us worried and distracted. And also we start putting our hope and our even security in our stuff, like the man in the parable. It can distract us from what's really important, those things that are above. And I suppose this has been on my mind, this aspect particularly, with the situation with my parents, who are both in pretty good health, but we're starting to make some of these decisions about might they move out of their big, beautiful house full of all this beautiful stuff, and what's going to happen to it. My mom was talking about that. And, you know, I remember as a kid, my mother particularly has a lot of things that have been passed down through her family, all these dishes and, you know, stemware and beautiful stuff that we used to use every Thanksgiving, and now I don't think I've seen some of this for years, but I remember in younger days thinking, oh, this is really neat stuff. And now we were sort of talking about, my mom was saying, I wonder what's going to happen, you know, to all our stuff. You kids will have to, you know, divide it up. And I was like, you know, I really don't have that much interest in this stuff. I mean, what do I need a bunch of fancy dishes for? I haven't thrown a dinner party in ever. So, I mean, if I ever inherit the dishware, you're all invited to my house for a big fancy dinner party. But, you know, the other side, obviously, and you all, I'm sure, have experienced this or will, you know, my parents are aging. My mom will be 85 tomorrow. My dad's going to be 88. And I'm to that point where I realize, you know, I don't care about any of their stuff. There's one or two things of theirs that have particular meaning to me. But otherwise, I want to just enjoy time with my parents as long as we've got. You know, what's truly important. Not the stuff, but the people, the relationship, the time. That realization comes, I suppose, with time as well, with wisdom over the years. Or again, mentioning this friend, Bob Jones, who I think now, boy, I wish I'd taken time to contact him before it was too late. That's what's truly important. But we get distracted by stuff. And one last element of stuff that I want to mention that I think is in this parable. This parable is about a man who has an incredible harvest and builds these larger storage bins to put it in. Now, that's not the problem. I'm always reminded of the story of Joseph when I read this parable. Not the father of Jesus, but the son of Jacob, you know, in Genesis. You remember in the whole soap opera story of Joseph, he ends up in Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh has this dream of seven fat cows and seven lean cows, and no one can figure out what it means. Joseph comes in and says, it means we're going to have 7 good years and then 7 years of famine. So, during the 7 good years, let's store up all the extra grain so we've got it for the lean years. But there's a difference between what Joseph and the Egyptians do and what the man in the parable does. The Egyptians, after they have stored up all this grain, give it out to all the others who didn't store up grain. That's what gets Joseph's family to Egypt. They come to access this grain. So you see, it's communal. The real problem with the rich man in this parable is selfishness. It's not that he had a great harvest or even that he was storing it. It was that he was saving it just for his own use so he could eat, drink, and be merry. He might have instead said, hey, I wonder if some of my neighbors didn't have a good harvest this year, and maybe I can share some of my bounty with them. Maybe I can take some of it over to Rec House. Maybe I can take some of it to the Barkin basement. Maybe I can share it with others, do some good with it. But instead, in the parable, this man says, I'm just going to keep it all for myself and live it up. And then God comes and says, bad decision. Because now the government's going to get all your stuff. This really is a parable about selfishness. The problem with all of our stuff is it can make us greedy, distracted, and selfish. That's why it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. It's not that God has anything against rich people. It's that those earthly riches can keep us from God. God loves rich people and poor people alike. God just wishes more of us would be richer in God rather than richer in stuff. Amen.